my salvation is life. I mean, it's really my whole life. I so understand, as much as I can at this point, how much God the Father loved me.
Have you ever felt like things in your life just need to change? You try to live a good life, but there's still something missing. Join Kenneth Copeland today as he tells you what you can do to start a life worth living. Next on the Believer's Voice of Victory Resurrection Special.
Jeremiah chapter 17. Are you there? All right. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord. Who said? The Lord. This ain't somebody that don't know. This is not somebody that's guessing about it. Thus saith the Lord, cursed. Now, anytime you read in the Bible anything about the curse, you know it's talking about what happened to mankind when Adam separated from God and connected to Satan as the so-called God of this world. What had been life became death. What had been health became sickness. Every bad thing that has ever happened on this earth has happened because of that disconnect and reconnect to Satan. He is the author of death. He is the spirit of death. God is not the spirit of death. He is the spirit of life. Amen. Amen. Now that division is carried out through the entire Bible. And in Romans chapter 8, for the law, L-A-W, law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the law of faith in God. And when you do what God says and you do it the way He says it, it will activate exactly the same thing every time. Amen. Now, before I read any further, I have to read you Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that does them live in them. That's talking about the law of Moses. Now, Christ, talking about Jesus Himself and His anointing, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What law? The law of sin and death. There are certain things. Now, this is the reason God is against sin. He's not against sin because He don't want you having any fun. He's against sin because it'll kill you. And there are certain laws of sin and death, and two sin plus two sin is death. Like two plus two is four, sin plus sin is death. That stuff will kill you. Amen. So now, notice here. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Why did he go to the cross? Why? He not only went to the cross, that was only the beginning of the sacrifice. Now understand this. He not only went to the cross, he not only died, he spent 3 days and nights in hell, suffering for Adam's sin and for the entire sin of the human race. That's bigger than what happened on the cross. That's bigger than just the death and the pain of his physical body. He went to hell, buddy, where you don't have to go. And in doing so, the power of the living God that went into hell itself and raised him from the dead, and in doing so, he defeated Satan. He defeated every principality, every power, every ruler of the darkness of this world, and he took the keys of hell, of death, and of the grave. And gave us the right and the privilege of accepting him as Lord and Savior. Amen. And when we did that, by the same Holy Spirit that raised him, that broke that curse of death on him. You have to understand, he never sinned. But he took your sin and mine. And he was treated as if he had sinned. And in raising him up from the dead, God broke that curse and disconnected us from Satan and reconnected us to God our Father. My Lord, I done preached myself happy. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Man, that'll make a somebody out of nobody. Now, the day you believe that in your heart, I don't care if you're 4 years old or 44 years old or 94 years old. And you said, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I receive what you did for me. Come into my heart. The very same thing that happened to him when God raised him out of the pit of hell and raised him up, and he re-entered his body in that tomb, glory to God, and walked out of there. Glorified, resurrected man of God. Hallelujah. The same thing happened to you and me. The scripture says so. We died the death of the cross, yet nevertheless we live. Not us, but Christ in us, our hope of glory. Hallelujah. And the same thing happened to your spirit that happened to his spirit while he was in hell itself. You were born again. Not just a forgiven sinner, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, there's coming a time, and I believe very, very soon, You see what Jesus got, we get. We're called joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We're not called sub-heirs. We don't walk under Him. He called, Brother Copeland, I don't deserve any of this. Well, what else is new? Nobody deserved it. If you deserved it, you couldn't get it. No, it's by His grace. It's just because He loves you and don't want you going to hell. What's the matter with you? No. And He said, you come on up here with me. You come on up here with me. I give you life. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. But everything He gets, we get. And the resurrection's coming. We get the same glorified body that He has. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree or on the cross, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, on all of us, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we've been redeemed from the curse, so I ought not be living cursed. We've been redeemed into the blessing, so I should be living blessed. But in order to live and activate the blessing of Abraham, what has to happen? Now, right, just go a little bit up to the 9th verse. They which be of faith, what we just read, the just shall live by faith. They which are of faith are those that live their life by faith, the same are the seed of Abraham. Abraham's faith activated the blessing of God. It still does. That's what this is all about. To live by faith is to live in the blessing that came in the Garden of Eden when God blessed Adam. And Jesus got it back. Hallelujah. And He's my Lord. And as such, we have a right to live in the blessing in this cursed environment. Why? To be a blessing to this cursed environment. Now let's go back over there to the book of Jeremiah. Cursed be the man that trusts in man. That would include everything men have done trying to meet their own needs without faith in God. And it was manifest as a system of need meeting at the Tower of Babel. Goes back that far. Man trying to meet his own needs without God. Scripture said Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the Savior. He's still the healer. He's still the author and baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He is the author of our faith and the developer thereof. Hallelujah. Amen. You receive Jesus as your Lord. You get born into the kingdom of God. You come out of that curse into the blessing. But I'm connected with somebody that knows the whole thing. His name is Jesus. He's the blessing. He bore that curse. He was sick with every sickness. He was whipped and beat with stripes on His back. He went into hell and He suffered the sin. But God broke Him from the curse and He came up out of that hellish place. Hallelujah. As your Lord and your Savior.
Come to these exciting meetings.
The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Steve and Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. The Behind the Mission Weekend in Orlando, Florida will be September 24th and 25th with Steve and Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Orlando Bonnet Creek. For more information, go to kcm.org.
KCM partner Salim Kayla is the Director of Campus Recreation for Houston Baptist University in Texas. He loves working with young people and remembers well his days as a student on this same campus. Salim and his wife Melanie are very involved in Lakewood Church, ministering and teaching classes on baptism and missions. They are also actively engaged in raising their five young children and establishing a solid foundation of faith. Salim learned the true value of a close and loving family from his own parents.
My father's from Jerusalem, Palestinian. My mom, Lebanese. We were raised in a wonderful, loving Muslim home here in the States. But people knew we were Muslim. They knew our beliefs. And after my first year of college, I was back home. We're now living in South Florida. And I'm on the beach, and a high school girl came up to me and was the first Christian to ever share the Christian faith with me. She ended up inviting me to this Christian coffee house called Koinonia. And initially, I actually felt sorry for the Christians because I knew as a Muslim that Jesus was a prophet of God and not the Son of God. I was trained and taught that Christians had corrupted the Bible and taken this prophet and made him to be the Son of God. And of course, in Islam, that's blasphemy. But they were still wonderful people, so we hung out. And I remember one night, though, I had this question come to my mind. And the question was, why am I Muslim? I'm thinking, oh, of course I'm Muslim. My mom and dad are Muslim. So that night, I cried out to God, to Allah, my God. I said, God, I just want to know the truth. But I don't want to base on my family, heritage, or tradition. God, I believe you are real. Show me who you are. And I will live for you, and I will serve you all the days of my life. And I meant business with God. And I actually went to this Koinonia. It started with an invitation. And I ended up with the associate director, and I kind of told her what I wanted to do, and she got really excited. She sat down, and she opens a book. And she proceeds to share the story of God, and then the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in the end, she has this prayer to read, where you actually confess that you're a sinner and you confess Jesus as Lord. You believe him to be the Son of God risen from the dead, and you receive and make him the Lord of your life. And I read the prayer to myself. And then she said, would you read the prayer out loud? And when I went to read the prayer out loud, I stopped at the name of Jesus. I couldn't say the name of Jesus. In Islam, the one unpardonable sin is to put a partner equal with God. So for me to say Jesus is Lord, is to condemn myself to hell. It's blasphemy. So I really couldn't get those words out, but I was so hungry. I was so desperate. And she said, come on, you can do it. And I finally just said, okay, Jesus, come into my life for 1 week. Well, that 1 week never ended.
His salvation secured. 3 months later, Salim told his parents the shocking news that he had converted to Christianity. Surprisingly, his parents allowed Salim to continue to live at home as he helped his father in the family restaurant business. Salim continued to grow in his faith, and over the next 10 years, all of his brothers and sisters accepted Jesus as Lord. Together, they continued to pray for their mom and dad to know the truth.
My father and I, we got to a relationship where I actually could share with him the gospel. And I don't know how many times when I'd share with him, the presence of God would show up and my dad would just start weeping. And I just knew it was the Spirit of the Lord. But every time my dad would dry his tears, and I don't know how many times, and he would lift his hand. He says, I'll never change, I'm Muslim. I'll never deny my faith.
22 years passed as Salim continued to pray and share his faith. His father became very ill, to the point of death many times. But he held on to attend the wedding of his firstborn son. Just a few weeks later, on his parents' 43rd wedding anniversary, Salim checked his critically ill father out of the hospital for a family dinner. It was Sunday evening, and Salim and Melanie made the decision to transport his parents to the evening service at Lakewood Church. Following the service, with no response from his 70-year-old father, a family friend knelt beside Mr. Kayla to make one last plea.
He kind of said, you know, Mr. Rubin, Jesus has always been there for you. Would you like to pray and receive Jesus now? And my dad, who's weak as water and somewhat unconscious, is just kind of collapsing. And when he collapses like this, Dwayne thinks my dad is saying yes. And so Dwayne starts to pray. And here, the man of faith I am, I go, oh, brother.
I think Salim was a little uneasy about it because, you know, he didn't need a false salvation at that point because his father had been so sick and we needed to know that his eternity was secure.
And I'm thinking, God, my dad never said the name of Jesus. And I'm just praying. And my dad, who's weak as water, all of a sudden he just goes, thank you, Jesus. He said, God opened my heart. He started naming my Christian friends over the last 20 years that were there when he tried to start a business, when he lost his business, when he got so sick. It was the love of the Christians that really reached my dad and my mom's heart. My dad supernaturally got some energy back and lived another year and a half, moved back to his village north of Jerusalem, built this little complex, brought a Christian couple in. They've started over 150 Bible studies with Jews and Muslims in the Middle East. And my dad has now gone to heaven, but he got to see my firstborn. My mom is now almost 81. She's the wildest preaching machine for Jesus you've ever seen. And it all started with a high school girl giving me an invitation. We have an awesome God.
Really, all it takes is a pure heart. You know, Matthew chapter 5 says that if you have a pure heart, you'll see God. And so, really, it's not about changing religions. It's not about, you know, giving up your culture. It's more about saying, God, if you're real, I want you to show me. And God will show you.
And so often, people look at a lot of Muslims like they're the enemy. Let me tell you something. Like Saul of Tarsus, the early church may have seen him as the enemy, but God saw him as the harvest. When people start seeing Muslims at the harvest, you'll see a whole lot more coming into the kingdom of God. And that's what I see with the heart of Kenneth Copeland. He's never an anti-people group. He's pro-people. He wants to reach the Jews. He wants to reach the Muslims. He wants to reach the whole world. So that's the heart of God, because God so loved the world. And Kenneth Copeland Ministry loves the world.
You know, that testimony reminds me of what Jesus said in the book of Revelation. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's talking about knocking on the heart of a human being. He said, if any man, any person will hear my voice, will hear my knock, and will open unto me, I will come in unto him, I will sup with him. That's covenant talk. That's the same thing that happens to young Muslim men and women. Oh, this great testimony we just heard today. Or anybody else that opens. And he said, I will come into them. I will sup with them. I will be their source of supply. And they will come in and out unto me and find pasture. I immediately think about, he makes me lie down in green pastures. In other words, he prospers me. Praise God. Just like he did that young man. I mean, 20 years later, his whole house was born again. The brothers and sisters. And then finally, your dear old daddy. Praise God. I mean, Jesus is, what a Savior. Glory to God. And he's knocking right now. You heard this message today. He's knocking on your heart. You want to open up to him? I know you do. Just pray this prayer with me. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. Put your hand over your heart and lift your other hand up, God, like that. And just pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, I receive you as the Lord of my life. And then it says, and shall believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Oh, God in heaven, I believe with all my heart, say it, that you raised Jesus from the dead for me. Thou shalt be saved. I receive my salvation, O Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, I repent of sin. Say it. I renounce the past. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for. I am a Christian. I am a believer. Jesus is Lord. And I don't care who knows it. I am a believer. Jesus, you're my future. Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen to me. If you prayed that with me today, here's what I want you to do. And let me know. I want to send you this little brochure. It's so simple about how to study your Bible. It's no harder than that. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is the key to life, man, is the Word of God. And this little book, we put together five different books, but then we put it all in one book where you can carry this little book around with you and read it and study it about who you are in Christ Jesus. Welcome to the family. The force of God's righteousness that's in you now. You need to get into this and begin to study this little book along with your Bible, and I'll send you both of these free and postpaid. Praise God. We want to help you get study to, in your study of the Word. Now, I also, Gloria and I want to sow a gift into your life today. Jesus is alive, and we are His witnesses. Jesus, our Lord and Savior. This is a message that I preached, praise God, in one of our meetings. And this is a kind of life that you can have through Jesus Christ. I want to give it all to you. And anybody born again for years, write and let me know. I want to sow that message into your life. Praise God. This has been good today. Good message. Jesus is Lord, and He is alive, and we're His witnesses. God loves you, and I love you. We'll see you next time. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of today's broadcast, visit us online at kcm.org or call or write to us today. Remember to request your Resurrection Sunday free gift, Jesus, Our Lord and Savior, a DVD by Kenneth Copeland. For faster processing, request your gift online. One per household, please. Offer good for 30 days. Discover the power in the name of Jesus and activate the blessing in your life.